985thesportshub.com. Sean Silver with you as the Celtics look ahead to a Friday night matchup with the Sacramento Kings. Thought that would be a great opportunity to catch up with Kyle Draper, a fan favorite around these parts. But now he works for the other guys as a play-by-play announcer and a studio host for Kings basketball on NBC Sports California. Kyle, thanks for taking a few minutes.
Sean, what's up, man? Thanks for having me on, bro.
Yeah, appreciate it. It's been a weird year, and you picked one of the weirdest times in American history to pack up, head out west, and change jobs. Now, that sounds really tough. I'm an optimist, though. I want to hear what the good parts have been. How have things been going for you?
It's actually been going, I mean, from a personal standpoint and, like, social aspect, you know, not as good because, you know, it's a pandemic going on. I can't go to the bars and hang out, go to restaurants and hang out. Things are opening back up. But for my golf game, Sean, dude, I'm ready to join the tour, man. I'm golfing like two or three times a week, just hanging, man, and think about it. I get to call NBA games, dude. So, you know, I am living a dream. It's been difficult, you know, with the pandemic and my family's still back in Boston. But this is the life I chose, you know, and there are some perks to it. You know, I'm at the games. I'm calling the games. I'm talking basketball for a living, and I'm golfing. So when I'm not talking basketball, I'm golfing. You'll usually find me on the courts.
So your broadcast partner out there is Doug Christie, who's got a long history with that team as a player and a number of years now as an analyst. I saw kind of a video they did for NBC Sports California to introduce you where Doug was kind of lobbing some questions your way. He said he was going to get you out on the links. How's Doug's golf game?
No, his golf game's on point, dude. Like, and, you know, Doug and I have probably golfed like 8 or 9 times together so far. Nice. And, you know, when you think about a 6'8 guy, 6'9, whatever he is, swinging a golf club, dude, and, you know, he's so athletic. Like, he could probably drive it like 300 or so, 290. Okay. Yeah, like, so his golf game is on point. I'm trying to get to that level. But, yeah, Doug's been one of the guys who have, you know, really helped me with this transition, man, because, like I said, you can't do a whole lot, you know. It's, you know, you can't have indoor dining, but one thing you can do is golf. And like I said, Doug and I have been out on the course a lot so far.
I guess if, you know, you can't do a whole lot of things, you can kind of build your friendship that way on the golf course. But as far as building a rapport as a broadcast team, that's a bit of a different animal. And you had mentioned one of the reasons, you know, why you went to this for this Kings job was to get the chance to do some play-by-play regularly, increase your reps. So how's it been building a rapport with an all-new broadcast partner?
No, it's been great, man. You know, it's funny because, you know, you think of Doug being a former athlete and maybe, you know, they have egos and, you know, but he's egoless, like, and so he's really made it easier for me. And I think that's one of the reasons why I got this job. When I did my audition back in October, I think it was, I did it with Doug. And, you know, the people that, you know, watched this audition and said, man, it looks like, sounds like you guys have been together for years. And that was the first time I met him. So that transition, you know, chemistry with Doug has been pretty seamless. It's just, you know, getting the reps, man, learning the flow of the NBA game from a play-by-play standpoint. Yeah. You know, I think about it, man. Look at the people, you know, majority of people calling NBA games. A guy like Mike Gorman, who's done thousands of games, even Mark Jones here in Sacramento.
Yeah.
And then you got little old me who's, you know, called like 50 or 60 games. So, you know, I got a steep learning curve, but one, I'm up for the challenge. And so Doug's made it great. You know, it's funny because when you call like 2 or 3 games in a row, you can see the improvement from that first game to the third game. And I truly believe it's all about getting those reps for me, man. The more reps I get, I feel like the better I'll get.
That's awesome. One thing that you got a lot of familiarity with is, you know, being a studio host. I know you're doing some of that as well. And I noticed that you're doing some work alongside Mitch Richmond. And if there's such a thing, that is an underrated Hall of Famer. The kids have this term nowadays, like he's a bucket. I mean, Mitch Richmond for a decade plus. And everybody talks about Run TMC, but, you know, his time in Sacramento, he was just, you know, 23, 24 points a game, all-star pretty much every year. He came to the Kings because the Warriors wanted Billy Owens for some reason. And then he left the Kings because the Kings got C. Webb. So he kind of occupies this interesting space. Like right before the Kings started to hit and they had that really great team that was Mitch Richmond's team. How's it like working alongside him?
No, it's great. And you talk about a Hall of Famer, man. I remember watching Mitch Richmond, you know, when I was younger, and you talk about a walking bucket, you know, the thing about Mitch, and a lot of times we talk about players, you know, can they fit in this era or that era? Mitch had the kind of game that would fit in any NBA era. You know, he'd be awesome today. Think about how guard dominant it is.
He was hitting a couple of threes a game, you know, back when people were taking a couple of threes a game.
Exactly.
You know?
Can you imagine? And he was getting into the paint, getting to the bucket. And so, no, it's great working with Mitch. And that's the beauty about this business, man. You just never know who you're going to be working with. And, you know, for me, I get to work with some of my idols growing up or seeing some of my idols growing up, you know, whether it's Mitch Richmond or, you know, interviewing Magic or Bird and all. You know, it's just surreal, man. But working with Mitch is great. I wish this pandemic wasn't happening because a lot of times he's doing it remote. Like, yeah, he's doing it all remote from his home. You know, I hope once this pandemic is over, we can get him up in the arena and really get to know each other and build that chemistry, too.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun when they welcome you into it and make you feel comfortable as well. You know, part of feeling comfortable, I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, your relationship with a new fan base coming from the Celtics to the Kings. And the Celtics are like, it's obvious, they're an NBA legacy franchise. And even when they're not good, like the 90s around here, there's still like baked in expectations that just go with having all this history. And the Kings, they had a pretty good run for half decade or more where they made some conference finals and they were definitely a player. They were one of the more entertaining teams in the league, but that fan base hasn't experienced or really been raised with those lofty expectations that you have in Boston. So how's it different having a conversation with that fan base versus the one out here?
It's interesting because, and I can just only speak of this season, and you're right, it's been a while since the Kings have sniffed the playoffs, but you know, I've been monitoring what's happening in Boston and what's happening here in Sacramento. And the difference is, in Boston, you go on a 2 or 3 game losing streak, they're ready to fire Brad. They want Paige gone, you know, yep, that kind of thing. And fans do that here, too. I mean, they want it, you know. But, you know, it's also like, dang, here we go again, you know. So it's a little more disappointment, yeah, I would say, because, you know, they've been at this point for so many years in terms of trying to get into the playoffs. And so when they go on a losing streak, it's like, man, here we go again. And so I wish I could touch the fans a little more. You know, we still haven't been able to allow fans in the arena. But, you know, one thing, you know, everybody tells me about Sacramento fans, they are loyal. Like, they love their team. And mm-hmm. So it's sort of a passionate fan base. And when they lose, like, it hurts. You know what I mean? It's not necessarily anger, but it's more like emotional hurt because they have such a deep connection with this team. And so hopefully I'm here when they start turning it around. They got a couple of young pieces. We got the trade deadline coming up. And so, and, you know, with this new playoff format, dude, I hope they keep it where you got the play-in, you know, the 7-10 play-in. Who knows what could happen here the second half of the season?
Could definitely sneak in. And I think, you know, as you mentioned, a lot of fans, they're probably looking for some hope on the horizon. I'm an NBA League Pass nerd, so a couple of years ago, like, the Kings were one of my picks. You know, they had young guys, they were playing some entertaining games. I think they finished a few games below 500, but the results really haven't been there as much the last couple of seasons. What do you think, looking at this team and the talent that they have and the position that they're in, what do you think the plan is right now to build towards a year-in, year-out playoff contender?
I think they have to address their depth. You know, when you look at their starting five, and sorry to say Marvin Bagley's out for, yeah, you know, a few weeks with the broken hand, but they got a solid starting five, you know. If they were in the Eastern Conference, that starting five could be challenging for a playoff spot, no doubt, yeah, about it. But the problem comes when you get to this seventh, eighth, and ninth man on the roster. And so I said it the other day on the post-game show, for the Kings to win, Fox has to play well. We know that. But Harrison Barnes and Buddy Hield can't have off games, you know, like, that's because they don't have the depth. And so I think if I'm Monty McNair, the GM, I'm all about adding depth to this team, you know, getting some quality bench production as well. You know, we played Atlanta the other day, and I looked at Atlanta's roster. You got Rondo coming off the bench, Gallinari coming off the bench, Bogdanovich. Those guys can get 20 points on any given night.
Yep.
I think, you know, when you're building the team, you know, you want to have a great starting five, but you also got to have, you know, that sixth, seventh, eighth man that can come in and get buckets. I look at the Miami Heat of last year, Sean, and that was one of the things I thought, one of the reasons why I thought they were going to be hard to beat, because you had six or seven guys that can get you 20 or more on any given night. Kelly Olynyk can catch hot, catch fire, and get you 20.
We've seen that.
You've seen it, right? And so that's the thing with Sacramento, man. I think they have to improve the depth on the roster.
You mentioned Buddy Hield, too, and he's out of that same draft as Jaylen Brown, where you know a bunch of those guys, and Buddy came into the league a little bit older than some of those other guys from his draft class, but a bunch of those guys got extensions all around the same time, so he was well compensated. His numbers are down, shooting under 40% this year. I mean, obviously, he comes through as the kind of guy who's a shooter first, but he's really flashed, and you know that was a lot of the reason why he got that big extension there from the Kings. Do you think there's something that the team can do, I guess, to maximize Buddy, because obviously they're locked in with him for a few years now, and you know he's going to supposed to be one of their big guys, but is experiencing the shooting woes right now.
You know, I feel like Buddy's pressing a little bit. You know, he's rushing his shots maybe too much. When I watch him, you know, it's interesting because he came off the bench for parts of last year, and when you looked at his splits, he actually was more efficient coming off the bench, a higher percentage coming off the bench than he did starting. And so, you know, but now with Bogdanovich gone, Buddy's in the starting lineup. So I feel like, you know, he comes out maybe and starts pressing early on instead of letting the game come to him. He has added some things to his game, though. You know, he's a better facilitator than I thought he was. I thought he was really a one-trick pony before I got here. But, you know, he's had games where he's had 7-8 assists in a game. And so I think he's improved some of his other areas, and his shooting has taken a dip. But trust me, if you leave Buddy Hield open, he's going to knock it down. And he's made some big plays down the stretch for this team. I could go back to the Denver game, you know, at the beginning of the season where, you know, he got the layup at the buzzer for the Kings to win. And so Buddy's a big game player. I just think he needs to slow down just a little bit and don't rush the shot as much.
Either way, a guy the Celtics are going to have to close out on when they play on Friday night. You mentioned the Kings' depth. I think the Celtics' depth has come into question this season. And one way to help your depth is to add starting caliber players to the team. And a name that just keeps coming up is Harrison Barnes. Do you think there's any sort of likelihood that Harrison Barnes isn't in the plans in Sacramento? And, you know, what would the Celtics have to do to get a player like that?
No, I think he is in the plans for Sacramento. Yeah. Because, you know, and I said this earlier, like, he's 28 years old. Believe it or not, he has a favorable contract because it goes down each year. You know, everybody looks, oh, he's making 20-something million. Well, it goes down each year. And he's, like, been their second most consistent player behind De'Aaron Fox. And so I said earlier, and this was when the Kings were rolling, they had won 7 out of 8. If you trade a guy like Harrison Barnes, what does that signal to De'Aaron Fox? What does that signal to some of these young guys? Like, man, are we just punting on the season? Right. And so I don't think the Kings are going to do that. With that being said, if you blow Monty McNair away with some sort of offer, 2 first-round, 3, you know, with something like that, you know, then you got to listen. But I just don't see it happening unless somebody blows him out of the water. You know, a lot of talk there in Boston about getting Harrison Barnes. Well, you got to tell me what the Celtics are going to give up. You know, I'm concerned about the Celtics' assets. You know, what are you going to give me? Neesmith and a late first-round pick? I don't think that gets it done. And so I think you're going to have to sweeten the pot if you're going to get Harrison Barnes.
And Danny Ainge definitely goes with the non-sugar alternative when it comes to sweetening the trades. So we'll keep an eye on that and obviously other names in the next week as we head into the trade deadline. Kyle, wanted to thank you for taking some time to catch up, and I know I'll continue to be a fan of your work. You spent a long time here endearing yourselves to Boston fans, and I know that the NBA community around here, we wish you a lot of luck.
Sean, thank you so much, man. Miss you guys out there in Boston, and thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Kyle.
Celtics and Sacramento Kings, Friday night from TD Garden. Tip off 7:30 on the 98.5 The Sports Hub Celtics Radio Network. Enjoy the game.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. text Jason to 45911, and we'll send the link straight to your phone.